The drug crisis is taking a toll on New Hampshire's families as more and more parents are dealing with addiction issues. Court-appointed special advocates, or CASA, reports nearly 70% of its cases last year involved Granite State families affected by substance abuse. Many of those cases involve parents addicted to heroin or other opioids. CASA volunteers advocate for abused or neglected children in the court system. Jennifer Westover of Concord is one of those volunteers. She's worked on two cases that involve parents struggling with drug addiction. I spoke with her about her role in those cases and began by asking her how she ended up volunteering for CASA.
I have worked in the court system before and worked for an administrative judge in the past, so I'm familiar with working with the public when they're not in their best times of their lives. About 4 or 5 years ago, I decided not to work. My husband and I decided that I would not work, and I was looking for something to do, and I wanted something that was rewarding, that would give back to the community, but I also wanted a challenge.
I know you have to talk in general terms here, of course, because of cases, but what do you generally do with these families and these children? What's your particular role on a daily basis?
Well, I mean, my objective is to get in there and really see what's going on so I can tell the judge, you know, are they going to the counselor? I mean, DCYF is also doing this hand in hand. You know, and give my perspective of how they're interacting with their child.
They want you as another set of eyes.
Yeah, and my eyes, when I write my report, I'm thinking, if I was that child, what would I want to tell the judge about my parents? You know, I want them to straighten up and fly right and take care of me, but I have to go into specifics like, you know, yes, you know, this parent was wonderful and they've attended all their counseling meetings, they've had negative drug screens, you know, they've accomplished this, or they didn't, or they got arrested here. Not that I'm sure the judge can find out, but I'm telling my story of what I've gleaned from going to the home and visiting with them, and we have meetings that we go to where everybody comes to the table and we talk about their progress.
And you volunteered in a couple of recent cases that then have to do with parents struggling with addiction. What's your role in those types of cases?
Initially, when you get started in the case, it seems like they're not really present. They're more concerned about getting their next hit, or however you say that. They generally don't understand who I am for a while. They just know that I'm always there, and I tend to focus more on cheerleading them to encourage them to hopefully make the right choices. In one case, I got to watch a parent change and fight her addiction and win and become a totally different person in the end, a wonderful person. Not that she wasn't as an addict, she just was not making the right choices. Her child was not the most important thing in her life. That was kind of, you know, forgotten. Wasn't sure it was going to have a nice outcome. It wasn't like it was clear from the beginning that they were going to succeed in their addiction recovery. But then you see them change over a period of months where they do start looking at you in the eye and they start, you know, saying things about their child. I mean, they and it's a gradual process, and they may screw up, they may, you know, but in the end it was very, very rewarding. I mean, you're just like, yay, you know, we did it. And in the very end, to have the parent come up to me after it was all said and done, they were reunified with their kid, to come up to me and the DCYF worker and talk normally and talk about the kid and what's going on and all of that. Just, it was wonderful. They were just such a different person from when we began the case.
Yeah. I was wondering if I could ask you, I don't know if there's, you know, a common thread of the addiction cases that you've worked on. I think you talked to some of that, but are there differences in the cases that you've seen when it comes to addiction?
I've been involved in a case where there was a family involved outside of the parents, and where there was no family involved. And it was a radically different outcome. Having the family involved and being there every day, you know, I'm not able, DCYF worker, we're not able to be there every day to prod the parent to, you know, come on, you need to make the right choice, you know, do this, you know, you need to get to the counselor. But the family being involved and giving them rides and or whatever, getting them to the doctor, made a remarkable difference in my eyes. I mean, I'll go on from here to have other cases. I may change my mind in that, but the one case where the family wasn't involved, it ended in termination of both parents' rights. So the kids were adopted, which turned out happily for them in the sense I'm very pleased with where they are, but it's also very sad that they're not with their parents and their parents didn't succeed.
Mm-hmm. Through your work on the cases that you've seen, what do you take away? Is there anything that you learned about addiction and the nature of addiction?
That it's really sad when someone becomes an addict because, I mean, it's just sad that they ever introduced that into their lives for whatever reason. I mean, I've learned that some people become addicts because they're self-medicating. Being involved with someone who's an addict and then seeing them change into a someone whose perspective isn't for the drug, definitely changed. I mean, in my private life, I've never been involved with someone who's an addict, so it was very eye-opening. And I have to mention that CASA is wonderful at giving us education about. So it's been a learning process for me. I'm exposed to people who are addicts, along with we're required to get continuing education each year. So we're educated and we go to seminars on different types of drug abuse or there's all kinds of, things out there that we attend. But I've kind of focused in on that because that's what my case was about.
You've talked about, going through two cases in the course of 4 years, 5 years. I mean, there must be a huge need.
Yes, there are not enough CASAs at this point to cover all the cases in the state of New Hampshire. So there's a very big need for people to become CASA volunteers. It would be wonderful if we could get more people to volunteer. I think they would really enjoy the experience. It's a challenge, yes, but it's very rewarding as well.
Jennifer Westover, thanks so much for your time.
Thank you.